Some years ago, not long after I had my license, I was taking some friends up to Lancelin. And one of the last things, it was a public holiday, and one of the last things my dad said to me, this is many years ago, was, "Now, Nigel," in fact, he didn't talk like that because he was from the army. He was more abrupt. He'd go, "Now, Nigel, just remember that when you get on that road and you go up to Lancelin, that there's always police patrolling, especially on a long weekend. So just watch your speed." "Yes, Dad." And so off we went, had a fantastic time, and as young people do, music going, and get up to our destination. And then the time comes for coming home. And wasn't really paying attention, just enjoying the company with all my young people in the car. And the next thing, woo, woo, woo. And the first thing I thought of was, "Oh my goodness, Dad told me not to speed." I had to absorb the wrath of my father when I returned home with ticket in hand. "Didn't I tell you not to do that?" "Yeah, but..." Jesus came to die to absorb the wrath of God. No matter how much we try, we need a Saviour. It was a commandment God delivered to Moses. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul." And the truth is, we have all loved other things more. This is what sin is. Dishonouring God by preferring other things over Him and acting on those preferences. Isaiah was right. We turned our backs on Him. The verse continues. "We turned our backs on Him and looked the other way when we went by. He was despised and we did not care." Our human disposition is against God. It's why Jesus was necessary, why He had to heed His Father's desire and live to die. It was His intended purpose. And here's the thing. The seriousness of an insult rises with the dignity of the one insulted. Since our sin is against the ruler of the universe, not to punish it would be unjust. The wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us in Romans. So God sent His own Son, Jesus, to divert sin's punishment from us to Himself. God loved us so incredibly much that He gave His Son for us. This is real love. It is not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. And the correct theological term for what Jesus has done by taking our sins on the cross is called propitiation. Jesus was the wrath-absorbing substitute for our sins. Only Jesus, the Son of Man, could appease, make right. And when Jesus uttered His last words on the cross, "It is finished." Say it with me one more time. "It is finished." It meant that He had accomplished His lifelong goal. He was a propitiation for our sins. It's why it's called Good Friday, even though for Jesus it was the worst day of His life. Jesus did the will of His Father in heaven. He became the wrath-absorbing substitute for our sins. He secured our freedom from the death penalty. That's a Good Friday. Come on. I think that deserves a hand just to say thank you, Jesus. He's done what we cannot do. He absorbed God's wrath on our behalf. God publicly endorsed Christ's accomplishment. And there are times I'm called upon as part of our constitution in our church here to use a common seal, just a stamp. And that seal on important documents means that it has the weight of our organization and the board behind it. It's sealed, it's done, it's absolute. By God raising Jesus from the dead, he was sealing his approval, stamping his authority on the complete and absolute success of his suffering and death. He came to die to absorb the wrath of God. He came to die to reconcile us to God. Yet it was our weakness he carried, it says here in Isaiah 53 verse 4. It was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God for his own sins. But he was wounded for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. He was whipped and we were healed. The reconciliation that needs to happen between man and God goes both ways. God's first act in reconciling us to himself was to remove the obstacle that separated him from us, the guilt of our sin. He took the steps we could not take to remove his own judgment, by sending Jesus to suffer in our place. Romans 5:10, it says, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. God was not doing a temporary repair on humanity. He was doing it once and for all. There was no shortcuts being taken, no limit to what God would do to bring repair into our lives. While we're enemies, we were reconciled to God. It cost him his blood. He did it for those incapable of the least bit of sympathy. He did it for the hardest of hearts. Yet Jesus died so that even his worst enemies could have the opportunity to be reconciled to him. The man in the Bible who hated Christians, who punished them severely and murdered them in the name of the law, came to know the love of Christ. The Apostle Paul said this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Paul knew firsthand that Christ loved him unconditionally. Paul used the sword against people in his past, yet he knew he was totally loved by God. No matter what we face in life, whatever the trial, whatever the difficulty, whatever the world situation, his love for us remains faithful and true. He proved his love at the cross. We must live up to the second part of being reconciled, and that is to do our part in being reconciled. Who knows that reconciliation works both ways? Only me. Like with my own dad with that horrible speeding fine, which got me close to losing my license all those years ago. And I said to him, Dad, I'm sorry for not listening to you. Immediately it diffused the situation. Please forgive me, I said. Our part in being reconciled to God is simply to receive what God has already done for us on the cross. We recognize our failings. We ask for his forgiveness, and we receive the greatest gift that any man can ever receive, his life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Will you accept God's gift? In a moment, I want us to stand together and we're going to pray together. He came to die to absorb the wrath of God. He came to die to reconcile us to God. And he came to die to show Jesus' own love for us. He was oppressed, it says in Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and treated harshly. Yet he never said a word. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent for its shearers, he did not open his mouth. The death of Jesus is a supreme expression that he loves us and gave himself for us. He could have rightly accused us of so many things, but he chose not to. He chose to lay down his life and say nothing. Remember that speeding fine? My dad totally surprised me by taking the ticket I had received, somehow paid it in full on my behalf. He shouldn't have done it. He didn't need to do it, but he did it all the same. It is our sin that cuts us off from God. And so although Jesus shouldn't have done it, although he didn't need to do it, he gave the ultimate sacrifice for us. He gave his life as a ransom. He secured our release from death. That's a good day. So let me ask this morning, if everyone here, whether you know God or coming to know God, whatever your situation is right now, what will you do with the gift that he has given you? Isaiah 53 verse 10 says this, "But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and fill him with grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have a multitude of children, many heirs." Today, will you become his heir? Why don't we stand to our feet for a moment? We're going to finish with communion, but before we do that, there is a really important opportunity right here, right now. If I could have the keyboard player, that'd be fantastic. I want to ask every one of us, if you don't know Jesus this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to pray with me in just a moment. If you're backslidden away from God, you did know him, but you know that you're not in relationship with him now. Or there's a fear that you may not be going to heaven. I think Jesus has proven that on Easter. Regardless of what we can do, he absorbed the wrath of God. He absorbed our sin. He came to die to reconcile us to God. Nothing can outdo Jesus' love for you and for me. And so right here, right now, I'd love us to pray this prayer together. And at the end of this prayer, if you'd like to accept Jesus as Lord of your life, I'd love to just pray with you as well once we finish this prayer. I'd love to give you a fresh start with him and a Bible and just acknowledge that he is Lord of your life. If you've never received Jesus as Lord of your life today, if you're backslidden in heart, you're not in relationship with him, or there's a fear there that you may not be going to heaven, you can be sure Jesus' love is real. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me unconditionally. I accept who you are. I receive you into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I know I can't do it on my own. I need you in my life. I receive your leadership. I thank you that you make a way where there is no way. I come into your kingdom right now. I accept you for all that you are. In Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer today and you'd like to receive Christ for the first time, you want to recommit your life, or you're not sure you're going to heaven, on the count of three, pop up your hand. I'll see it. And you can pop it down again. I'd love to pray with you. One, two, three. Thank you. I see your hand. Is there anyone else this morning? Say, yeah, that's me. I want to receive the Lord Jesus into my life afresh today. Is there anyone else today? Just give it a moment. Thank you. I see your hand. Anyone else here today? Just give it a moment. Receive the love of Christ. Thank you, Lord. We're grateful for what you've done for us on the cross, Lord. So grateful. Can I pray with those guys? I'd love to do that. Reese, why don't you bring Macca here and this young gentleman? Is there anyone else? Just come. Hello, sir. I'm Nigel. Hey, nice to see you. Amen. What's your name?
Glenn.
Glenn?
Yep, Glenn.
Glenn. Yep. Hey, Macca. It's a good day. Not so bad. Can we pray with these guys, church?
Yes.
Lord, we pray the love of Christ today. We pray that it'll be a fresh start. A new beginning. A new life with you. We believe for it. Thank you, Lord. Peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Flood our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Bless him, Father. Mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Power of heaven. Power of heaven. Power of heaven. Power of heaven.